All right, everybody. We could probably do a whole weekend on The Alchemist. How did everybody like the book? Yeah, amazing, amazing book. It's, Coelho is just such a fantastic writer. Now he writes, just so you understand, he writes all of the primary states of being. Okay, every one of his books, it talks about a primary state of being, a quality within humanity that is just, and he writes it so beautifully. We use a number of his books throughout the program, but highly recommend you read all of his books. He carries the energy that healers need to carry. Each of those qualities that you experience while you read his words are those incredible human traits that you have within you. Okay, but this was the one that sort of started it all for him, and it's really the core book of what he's doing is that before you can do any kind of quests or going out in the world and discovering yourself, what do you need to find?
The self,
right? And so what is alchemy?
Blending of metal.
Got a little list too. Blending of metals, right? Okay. So what the alchemist does in theory, what the alchemist does is the alchemist takes base metals like lead and purifies it. Purifies it until it's gold. Okay? What do we do? We start at the first chakra, where you're just a lump. You're lead. And we move that consciousness, we create consciousness around that, and then we move you up to the second chakra. And we purify the wounds and the vows and the challenges in the emotional centers. And then we move you up to the third chakra. We purify and we become conscious of your level of self-esteem, your ability to hold yourself independent from the better thinking of other people. Okay? And we work up through the chakras. So what an alchemist is a healer. An alchemist is a person. Alchemy was the metaphor for what you have to do to make it to consciousness. And consciousness, at the end of the book, was realizing what? That the treasure was here the whole time. You're the treasure. You're the gold. And if you'll notice on the energy field, there's a little gold ring all around it. And in all of the many of the parables and myths, the golden ring is always lost as a child. And it isn't until they go on their quest that they find the golden ring later in life. We lose our sense of self. We lose that sense of self when we go through our domestication. And we have to wound ourselves to survive. But then the alchemy is when you get old enough that you want to become an adult. And many people never get even close to adulthood. They're, it's like infancy most of their lives. But, and occasionally people make it up to teenage. That's what the second year students are teenagers, and they're having teenage problems right now. First year, you're really just sort of, this is just like the first baby steps. I don't care how much work you've done, when you really start going through the chakras like this, you feel like, oh my God, I'm a beginner. There's nothing else. By next year, you get pretty smart. And then you start wanting to, like, there's the teenagers, like, well, you're not going to tell me. I know how this goes. I know me now. But that level of resistance to is the next thing you work through, the adolescence. And then by the third year, you become an adult and you become a contemporary of mine. By the fourth chakra of the third year, I pull my energy out as teacher, and you'll notice an amazing shift in our relationship, and you're able to hold a space with someone, not in resistance to. No matter what you're doing right now, you have to be in resistance to me because you have this quality of I'm the teacher, you're the student. There's a dynamic that way. The truth is that doesn't exist other than in our agreement right now. But I have to hold that space so you can feel safe to transform and know that there's somebody's got your back. Okay? Eventually, an adult doesn't need anybody to have their back. They choose to have people have their back, but they don't need it. They're totally standalone. And so the quest, this hero's quest, is the quest for the self. Alchemy is what we do. You're reading about what we do in this program. Okay? So what are the elements of it? Discipline, courage to find the personal legend, right? So the discipline is to follow your guidance. How many of you know what to do but don't do it? Come on, everybody. Right. The list is long. Everything you know what you're supposed to do and don't do it stops the guidance from coming. If you know you're getting guided to do something and you don't do it, you stop getting guidance. It doesn't mean you don't keep creating thoughts that I'm getting guidance, but they're just, your thoughts are rolling around in your head. You're not actually getting any more guidance because your spirit isn't going to bombard you with 50 things to do. It's going to say, here you go. You got to work on your compassion. You got to work on, you know, on being independent. You have to work on, you know, all the things that you just chose today. You have to work on being enthusiastic. Got to work on being empowered. You know, whatever it is, that thing you chose today, okay, that's everything. That's all your choices. It's not like, well, I'll just be empowered around this. It's all your choice. If that's your core, that's your personal legend, which we chose today by choosing your power, that's your personal legend. You've got to find a way to discipline yourself to see that that is the choice that I make. Okay, for me, enthusiasm is a really high, important character. Okay, for me. I love the way Eckhart Tolle talked about it. He talked about enthusiasm is the closest thing. It even means being one with God, being with God. Okay, because it's a higher source of energy. Okay, so thinkers will tend to have enthusiasm. Charismatic leaders tend to have passion. The lower chakras have passion. The upper chakras have enthusiasm. Okay? Now, if you have both together, you can be enthusiastically passionate or passionately enthusiastic. You know, but so you have to pick that. So we talked about the healers purifying themselves. So the spiritual quest. We tend to... This book captures you because it's such a great story. Right? It's an amazing story. Young man, you know, and he keeps losing his money and getting it back and fighting and making these tough decisions and getting stuck in his life, right? How many of you would have stuck in with the good job at the crystal shop? How many of you have, let me rephrase that, how many of you have gotten stuck in the crystal shop? In relationships? In jobs? You know, think about it. That was safety. That was security. He was making more money than he's ever seen before. But he knew it wasn't his personal legend. Okay? Now.
Stuck in a crystal shop. I only read a synopsis and I won't tell you.
Okay, you read the book. Read the book. Stuck in the crystal shop means that we settle for good enough.
Coping.
I did. Well, it's like it looks good because other people say it's good.
But
we know what?
If it's just, it's not being stuck, but it's just a time that you have to take to get you there.
Right. No question. And each thing that he did, he totally believed this is the next thing. This is it. You know. So he believed. He totally threw himself into it. And by doing the jobs that he did, he discovered who he was. So he discovers himself in each of the jobs. He found out he was very creative. Found out he was really, you know, he came up with new ideas. He wasn't afraid to try things. Okay?
He liked being a shepherd first.
He liked being a shepherd. Isn't that, you know, and it's, Coelho's biblical metaphors are just, you know, obviously clear throughout. I want to tell you just a little story about when I met the king. I was in my second year at IHAS. I was just learning this work, and I was you know, kind of struggling along with it. But I was a meditator. I would go out every day. You know, I was also, you know, my discipline was primarily athletic. I did 25 years of martial arts, and I would work out 7 days a week, do my martial arts workout, run, condition 7 days a week for the, you know, throughout that entire time, and then meditate. And when I would meditate, I'd meditate by a stream, and I would do a variety of different types of meditations, like body meditations, mental. And one day, when I was having some real struggle with something, I went and I sat down. And as I sat down, I literally felt like I fell off of something. And I fell, I was literally falling. I couldn't open my eyes, and I felt like I was falling. And I hit the water. I was really felt like I had fallen in the ocean. And when I hit the water, this massive sea turtle just sort of came up and banged into me and hooked onto me and dove down to the bottom of the ocean. Now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm having a psychotic break here. Okay, really? I mean, I'm like in healing class, you know? I mean, what else could happen, you know? I was like, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't break this thing. This was, I was literally felt like I was, it was happening to me. Down to the bottom of the ocean, way, way, way deep, and I'm like having a hard time breathing. You know, I can't. You know, somehow I'm surviving, but gets down to the bottom of the ocean, and there are this sort of like all these structures down there, and there's like these bubble structures, and the turtle kind of bumps me into one of these bubbles, and all of a sudden I can breathe. I could really feel the breath, but the pressure was unbelievable down there, and I was like, what is what's going on here? This is, you know. And when I looked up, there was this almost like a spider-like creature. It was a human being, tall human being, but with an ibis type of a head, okay. But long, like bony, huge, long fingers. And he came over to me. And, you know, I'm like, what's happening? And he said, I am the king of Atlantis. I was like, you and who else? What's the, you know, what do you mean? And he pulled out of his robe this green, I realized later it was an emerald. But he jammed this thing in my chest. Now, I don't know about you. I learned that you don't want to let things you don't know into your energy field. And I'm like, and I couldn't stop him. And as he did that, he said, you know, he gave me some sort of a, you know, this is what you need, and then pushed me out of the bubble, and I start not being able to breathe again. And then the turtle brings me back up, and when I wake up, I'm like, that was, you know, this healing stuff is crazy. What is that? You know, is this what happens to everybody? And then I started walking home, you know, and started to do my little jog home as I did, literally within about 100 yards of where I was sitting. And I was completely healthy when I walked down there. I start coughing and coughing and coughing. And by the time I got home, I had a fever of like 102. And I was sick. I almost didn't make it. It was like I was that sick. 102, 103 fevers for 2 weeks. Coughing, hacking, and spitting up just horrible, disgusting stuff. But being delirious and having more sort of kind of information coming in about what is this thing? What was that the person? And so then and went to it was not an emerald. I'm sorry, it was an egg that he put in me. He put an egg in. The egg later on, much later, 6 months later, cracked and was an emerald. But I went to my healer, and they were like, "Yeah, there's something in there. They've, you know, somebody's installed. You know, so you got a massive download here of some kind. No idea what." So over time, 6 months later, that, you know, all of a sudden it starts changing. It starts moving. It starts, and as my heart is changing, this green emerald starts radiating more, and people are starting to see it. Healers are starting to see it. I'm starting to recognize it's changing something in me. Okay. I also go back, and I have more. More of these visions, and you know the god Hermes, the with the things, winged feet. He's like flitting around. He's like, and he's like, you need this to get to here. I'm going to give you these, and I want you to go there and do this. And I need you to go to the pyramids and find a secret passage underneath the pyramids, which I found. And I went in, and there was a dark room that I had to go into. And I went in. I would go in every day for months and months and months. 3, 4, 5 months. I went in every day, and all that room underneath the pyramids was black, pitch black, dark. And then after about 3 or 4 months of doing that every time, I heard a voice saying, you have to light the room. You can't see what's in here. You cannot get the gifts until you light the room. And I said, what does that mean? And I had to practice. And at first it was like this little tiny light and a little more light. And so then like another 6 months later, I'm able to light the room up. And what I find is I find this ibis-headed man sitting there. Now, those of you that know the Greek mythology, the ibis-headed man is Thoth. He's the one that brought magic and consciousness to humanity. And he started teaching me. But I didn't know that. I thought, there's this crazy-headed thing. And later, many months later, I sort of found in a book, I was like, what is this? And Thoth had been the king of Atlantis, and then appeared first as Hermes, as a god, and then in human form as Thoth in the Egyptians. I had no knowledge of this, no idea about this, and that was when I was in the biggest crisis in my job, where I had to decide what I'm doing, what's my personal legend, what's happening. And I probably read The Alchemist at some point, but I didn't link up the two. So when the law is that the king will appear, sometimes they actually do. Okay? I can tell you for certain, sometimes they do. And what resulted from those interactions and the training and what I learned and the healings that I learned and the way they taught me the healings and the interactions is this school. Okay? That was why I ended up saying, like, I can't do what I'm doing anymore. I gotta go do this. So I want you to understand that for each of you, you may not have that biggest psychotic break that I did. But for each of you, there will be somebody, something, some idea, something that is a roadmap, some kind of a wake up, pay attention. And it might come from a child. Someone might just, you might just hear these words and like, where, how did they know that? How did they, and you have to pay attention. Because the omens that they talk about in here, and he found that he followed his omens. The only way to get more is to believe in the omens you have. Do not go for another psychic reading when the last 18 psychics have told you the same thing. Right? Crazy people, you know, we're just crazy. It's like, well, I'd really like another one. Maybe it'll be different this time. Because so I just want to tell you that story, because this, in that book, that was like, you know, the more you read that, the more you realize you've probably already met the king. Many times in your dreams, you've got times when you have been tapped and your fear is what stops you. And you know, with Santiago, he had to always challenge his fear. Okay?
Pretty much ongoing as long as you're alive.
As long as you're alive. It's always right.
Where I am now, so.
Right. You will always be challenged. But it's the first one that's the hardest. Mm-hmm. It's the first one that's the hardest. But once you have committed, once you've disciplined yourself to listen and act, listen and act, listen and act. Every time I met with Thoth, I wrote it down. I added into my healing practice. I did more with it. I spoke about it. Everything I learned, all the secrets that were in that chamber, and then he taught me other ways to navigate. The Temple of Light that I do for you was taught by that, by Thoth in that area in Egypt. And it's an incredible gift. It's a, you know, for a lot of people, you know, but I want you to think about how I do it. You know, I'm not like standing up here in white robes, saying, I do the Temple of Light, it's the download from Thoth, and I'm like the third generation Thoth. It's like, you know, I'm here, I use it as a Sunday event, the last class. Okay? I don't use it for anything else. It's a wonderful way to awaken you at the end of a year, okay, to your deepest quality. Okay? My mission is here with people at the lower chakra level. I have gifts coming in from above, but I got to deal with life. I want you to deal with life. You can't go and try to do that. If you're thinking I'm going to be, you know, walking with Jesus, please get out now. Okay? Because it's going to be a real big disappointment. Right? Right? Walking with Jesus is walking on planet Earth. Okay? This is it. We're doing it right now. Okay? Being conscious that your guidance comes from the infinite, from the knowledge of the planet, the knowledge of the stars. Everything is conspiring to get you to your life purpose. How many times have you known, I do that, that'll really be what I want to do. Yeah, but I'm going to stay safe. I was being driven to the Barbara Brennan School for like 6 years. I was like, oh, I can't do it. No, too much money. Oh, I can't go to Florida. I can't do this. Oh, she was in New York. Now she's in Florida. I can't do. And finally, Spirit designed, made another school in Connecticut. It's like, you got to go to this one. It's right down the street. So I started. So it went. All right, so that's the end of that. Anything else from the book? There were lots of other really cool events. Yes?
I just like that, like, I guess there were the easy choices and the things that he wanted or thought he wanted, but all of those things came once he achieved the life purpose. So that it's like achieving the life purpose makes everything else in your life easier.
Not just easier, it makes it real. You're not real if you're not on your life purpose. If you can't find your life purpose, and folks, your life purpose is your profile. That's it. Own it. Find it, study it, rehearse it, discipline it. What about Fatima? What's that discipline? There was some real big stuff around love in there, wasn't there? What happened there? What is going on with that?
Trust and belief. Oh, yeah.
Trust and belief? What was the real message there? Because the last words were, I'm coming, Fatima, right?
But he had to find himself before he could make her happy.
Exactly. If you don't hit the third chakra, don't even bother going to the fourth. If you don't know who you are, don't think you're going to find it in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So the work is to discover the self. Once you've discovered the self, then you can do whatever you want. And being in relationship is just fantastic. Fatima had found her personal legend, right? And so she knew enough to know that if he didn't find his, he'd never be happy. But once he found his, whatever they did was going to be love, because he could choose his life then rather than hoping his life would then be good for him. Yes?
Personally, did you have that download or that dream when you were in crisis, or you said you were in transition, right? You were kind of...
There was like a 5 or 6 year period at my work where it was, you know, it was clear I didn't belong there anymore.
But did that blow you away? Like, what the hell's going on? This thing just happened to me.
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is with real guidance like this for me, I didn't get it till 2 or 3 years later. It took 2 or 3 years to discipline it and trust it. Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, one more question and then we're done.
Amy's asked me a couple times to share the story and I'm kind of being moved to share it. It's the life purpose is, you know, following the omens. And, you know, although I had a head-on collision and my whole life has been changed and thrown upside down and where I am today, but it's the, and it was the fifth chakra. I had a cadaver bone put in my throat, in my neck to hold it together. And since I've had that bone placed, like 2 days after surgery, things just came out of my mouth that I would never have said prior to that. Like, I really would have been like, oh, I can't say this because I'm going to have a conflict with half of them. It's like, what? And I don't know if truly it was some of the Valium or the very fact that I like him. But I truly believe that since I've had this bone placed in my neck and I had a dream that I was working the code in the back of an ambulance and it was this man and it was his... It was, he died.
Yep.
So I saw the person in the dream of who died, mm-hmm. and he was a total enforcer and charismatic leader. He was just like, yeah.
Right.
So I, and it's the shape-shifting and the foxes that I've seen since then.
Right. And so, how many of you have taken a trauma in your life and made it the reason why you can't do something? Okay, you know, and that's everybody. It's like we do that, and but the reality is that there isn't one thing that's happened to you in your life that wasn't the king whacking you upside the head.
Yeah.
Okay, including my crazy job, you know, at the country club. Great job, you know. I was running a huge business, but you know, making tons of money, and everybody liked me, and you know, except for a few, but it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me, so I was spending a lot of time doing the healing work. So we need to get on and do the
reinforcement.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody. That was great.